Well, it's good to see everybody this evening. Glad you're here. Man, it's been an awesome month for Kathy and I, being off and taking a sabbatical. In case you're new here, we took a month off, and that was quite an experience. We had a good time, and through time, we may be sharing some of those things that we experienced during that time. And again, I just want to share, you know, with Frankie sharing what he did about next Wednesday. That, you know, we are, family is one of our core values. And not only just for our paid staff, but volunteer staff, everybody that comes in every week and volunteers and does so much, we want you to have that time to spend with your family and enjoy Thanksgiving. And one other thing, too, is that Howard Payne University this year, on Thanksgiving Day, they're providing a Thanksgiving meal free to the community. So if, you know, you want to go and enjoy that meal that day, or you have someone that says, hey, I don't have anybody to get with, I don't even, you know, get together and do this, maybe you can point them that direction. Let them go and enjoy a great meal at Howard Payne University. I tell you that, what a giving heart that our university has to provide that for our community and those that may not have an opportunity to have a Thanksgiving meal. What a blessing, man. We need to be praying for Howard Payne University, don't we? Man, I tell you, what a blessing they've been to all of us. So it's such a blessing to be. I mean, I love our church. I just love our church, don't you? Amen. I love being here. I love what God is doing. Kathy and I did get an opportunity to go up and see our children, some of our kids up in Wisconsin. Anybody ever been to Wisconsin? Madison? Yeah, some of you. Any of you been up halfway up in the States? Or, you know, we're kind of born and raised in Texas, and we don't get out of here, man. We like it here. But it's cold up there. It snowed while we were there. We were there in October. It's like, my word, what's that Texas boy doing up in Wisconsin, you know? So, but it's such a beautiful place. We had a great time and got to spend some time with our grandbabies and our son and daughter-in-law, and it was good. And I just so appreciate all the guys that shared while we were gone and brought the word. Man, we have got such talent and anointing in our church, you know. I know you've enjoyed it. What a blessing. What a blessing. I want us to go over to Colossians, and I just want to share a few things with you from my heart, and I'm going to do my best not to just unload on you. You know, I hadn't preached in a while, so I'm just going to just calm down, chill out, and just share a couple of things with you, okay? But, you know, when I was in Boy Scouts, that's been a few years back when I was a boy. I was a boy once, and I loved Boy Scouts. I loved scouting. I loved the things that we did in scouting. I loved all the activities that took place, all the training that we did. And one of the things that I really enjoyed was getting out in the wilderness and getting out in rough terrain and learning how to follow a map, learning how to navigate on a map. When you were point A to point B and you had all this rough terrain and mountainous terrain, they give you a compass and tell you to get from here to get there, you know. And that takes some skill because you can get lost in the mountains. How many know that to be true? You ever get out there and you go around, you get around for a night, okay, how do I get back? You know, it's like, oh. And you think you got it all together, but man, you can get lost. And then out in West Texas, in the sand dunes and all the, you can get lost in the sand dunes. I did a lot of rig work out in the sand dunes, and you can get lost out there and get turned around. But, you know, when you've got a compass and you have a map and you know how to navigate your way, you know, when you know where you are and located where you are, you need to navigate carefully so you don't lose where you are to get from here to there. And that's a lot of fun when you know how to do it. And you can learn to do that. And you know what? That's with our Christian walk, you and I, we need to know how to navigate this walk out. How to navigate our steps walking as a child of God in the world today. And even, you know, David made it clear that God's word was his map and his guide. But even when you have that map, you got to know how to use it. You know, you need to know how to navigate in it. I've run across a lot of folks that can just quote Scripture right and left, and they can quote the Bible right and left, but they're not navigating very well. Man, they look lost as a goose when they're walking, you know, their walk out. And I want to learn how to do that, and I want to look at our lives and see how we're navigating. Are we navigating good? Are we really doing a good job of doing that? Or sometimes it may feel like we're not even using our compass, and maybe your compass is broke. I don't know. But some people look like their compass is broke, and they don't even know how to hold it right, you know. But I want us to look at our lives, because we need to find and follow and fulfill God's will for our life. And when you're trying to find God's will for your life and you're trying to navigate it out, you need to know how to do that. And there's times when we get off course, don't we? There's times when we can even get lost in the woods, and we need to find our way back and how to navigate our way out of that and fulfill God's will in our life. And I want us to think about this God's will. One thing that I've discovered about God's will is that it's progressively revealed to me as I'm moving along and as I see myself right now and my steps right now. It begins to unfold before me. I don't know it all initially. I don't know every step. But it's progressively revealed to me as I keep my eyes on where I'm going right now. Does that make sense to y'all? Have y'all discovered that as well? I know my end, where I'm headed, but I don't know all the pathways of getting there just yet. But I realize as I begin to watch my steps, it begins to unfold before me. And so I want to think about, you know, when we're looking at God's will for our life and whether or not I'm on course, let's think about it, you know, in this as trails. You see what applies to you. Some of your mountain bikers, you know. We got some folks in our church that ride bikes, and it's not like you and I ride bikes. I mean, they really do. They ride bikes now. They're serious about this. And I think we got somebody down on a Baja right now competing, and I think that's cool. But for me to do it, that'd be crazy, you know. but, you know, horseback riding and hiking and dirtback riding and cross-country races, and you think about all the trails that they must follow. And that this walk that you and I walk out in the will of God is like a race, or it's following a trail, and you know where the finish line is, but you got to keep your eyes on track to get to the finish line. You got to keep your eyes on where you're headed and where you're going so that you get to the finish line. And I've realized this. I don't know how many of you you've competed in sports and competed in track. I enjoy track. I have enjoyed over the years watching track. But I realize this. You can be the fastest there is on the track and the most talented on the track, but if you get off course, you can lose the race. I've seen guys step out of line, you know, when they're racing and get off course just a little bit and be disqualified for the race and lose the race. And you can be the most talented, qualified, seemingly Christian on the face of the planet, but if you get off course, you could lose the race. Not fulfill God's will for your life. I've seen so many people get off track. So, we as Christians, I ask myself this question. I think we do as well, and maybe you do too. Can I know and fulfill the will of God for my life? I think everybody wants to know that, don't they? Don't you want to know? That's why you're here. I'd love to just, if we had time, just sit down and ask every single one of you, even just like tonight, why are you here on a Wednesday night? Why are you here on a school night? Because I want to fulfill God's will for my life. Might be an answer to that. I want to follow God. I want to feel His hands in my hands. I want to hear His voice, right? And that's a question that we all ask ourselves, and I believe that it's in us. That question's on the inside of us, all wanting to know God's will for my life personally. But sometimes that's a little scary if we haven't built this confidence and trust in God, trusting Him to reveal Himself to us, trusting Him to keep guiding us, trusting Him to show us how to stay on course, how to read this compass, how to fulfill His will in my life. Sometimes that's gets a little scary when we haven't built that confidence and trust in Him. But I believe that it is so important that we find and follow and finish the course that God has laid out for us. I can remember an evangelist friend of mine, missionary evangelist, traveled all over the world, and we were driving by a cemetery. I don't know, it might have been down in Haiti or somewhere, that he said, look out there. Look at all the unfulfilled dreams and passions. And think about it. That's the way to look at it. Man, there's a lot of people that, man, once you're done, you're done. And all those dreams and passions that should have been fulfilled in your life never came to pass. I don't want that to happen, do you? I mean, I want to fulfill God's will for my life. And I believe it's important that we find it and fulfill it. Paul, in Colossians, the second chapter, I'm going to go there in just a moment. Paul made a major course adjustment in his walk. As he's walking it out, thinking he's got this map figured out, his religious walk, I'm headed in the right direction, I know where I'm going, I got it all together. And then he met Jesus and figured out, I've been lost all this time, man. And he had to make a major course adjustment in his walk to fulfill God's will for his life. And Jesus, even when he's saying, I'm going to have to show this guy what he is going to have to suffer for my sake, that sometimes that mountainous terrain is not easy. But God had a pathway for him to follow. And he had to make some major course adjustments. And I love thinking about Paul just sitting and meditating on him. And he knew this, the Colossian church was growing, and he knew the challenges that they would face. And when I think about Paul, I compare many times. When I meet someone today that just really impresses me, makes an impression on me of how smart they are, and I think, man, that person has a lot of depth to them. Men and women alike. You know, early on, Marilyn Hickey, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of her. I grew a lot under her teachings, and when I think meet people today, I think, you know what, people have always been smart, right? Maybe they haven't had some of the technological advances that we've had in these days, but that didn't mean they wasn't any smarter than what we are today. Figure out things that we have today, come around to self-awareness as we have to come to self-awareness today. And I think about Paul, and I think that guy had a lot of depth to him. That man had a lot of depth in who he was. And I try to think about when I picture him, I want to place him in that understanding when I try to read what he's trying to tell me. Does that make sense? Are y'all with me? He had a lot of depth and understanding, and when he coupled that with the revelation of Christ, what a major resource he is for us. When you think about that and what he experienced and what he had revelation of by the Holy Ghost and what he wrote down for us to understand. And when we look in Colossians, I want to take you there in chapter 2. I want to pull out three verses initially. And I realize that Paul experienced all of this that he's advising us on. As a matter of fact, he contributed to it. He was an initiator of the same thing. And now he's trying to help us have self-awareness to be able to guide us in our walk. You want to know the will of God. You want to know how to navigate your life. Then it's better to pay attention to someone who's made all the mistakes and then they're trying to help us in the pitfalls of life, right? Wouldn't it be better to learn from other people's mistakes so you don't have to make the same mistakes to get to that level? We should build on their ceiling should be our basement. We should. Don't we try to do that with our kids? I mean, kids, I don't know where they get to this certain point in their life where they realize, you know, mom and dad are not as stupid as I thought they were. When they end up experiencing something that's challenging and they realize their mom and dad went through that and was trying to help them to avoid that. But see, Paul is speaking that to you and I, okay? And so we're just going to touch on a couple of things tonight. In Colossians, the second chapter, when we look at, these are some of the signs on the trail and markers as a mentor trying to guide us from the pitfalls of life. Okay, look at verse 8, Colossians 2:8. He's talking about our walk, and he says this to you and I as Christians. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He said, beware lest any man spoil you, take you captive as spoil, another translation says. He had done that. He had done that. And in the revelation of life, he's trying to help us not to fall prey to that. And we'll expand on that particular verse here in just a moment. Now, it'll drop down in verse 16, Colossians 2:16. So one, that first one, he's saying, beware of evil persuasion. Evil persuasion that would captivate you and get you off course. Secondly, he comes here and he's talking about legalism. In verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday or of the new moon or the Sabbath days. Don't fall under the legalistic judgment and become a legalist in your life. That will get you off track of where Jesus wants to take you. He's done that. He lived it. He was one of the best at it. He was ensnared by it. I believe that. So he's trying to say, hey, listen, wise up, pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to get you on the right track. Don't go down the road I went down. And then in verse 18, another. So first of all, beware of evil persuasion. Beware of legalism. Don't fall prey to legalism. You can't earn your way to heaven, by the way. I don't care how good you get. You can't do enough, you can't quit enough to earn your way to heaven. It's only by what Jesus did for you in faith in his work. Right? Amen. And then in Colossians 2:18, he's talking about deception. He said, let no man beguile you or cheat you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. False humility of spiritual things and being snared by deception. So he's hitting these three areas of evil persuasion and legalism, and in his spirituality, oh, I've seen these things, and try to deceive you in spiritual things, and they don't even have a lick of sense of what they're talking about. Is that me? Okay. You know, this is good advice. Don't be deceived. Know the Word of God. Know the truth of the Word of God. Have a relationship with God so you can recognize Him. Not be deceived by something that even appears as an angel. Satan will come. He's a fallen angel. And he's deceiving people. We've got to be wiser than that. Now let's go back up to Colossians 2nd chapter there in verse 4 through 10 and expound a little bit on that first area that I covered. Maybe we can cover these others at another time. But in this one tonight, look at verse 4. We're talking about evil persuasion in our life as Christians. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Look at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Look at verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now back up to verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you. Don't get lost in the wood being deceived. Don't get off track being deceived, subtly deceived. Many times I see us being deceived and we have no awareness of what we've fallen into. How many times, I think guys are more guilty of this than ladies. I'm so thankful for GPSs now. Kathy and I, we traveled quite a bit, and We used to think, how did we ever get around? Well, we'd get us a map. And boy, would we focus on that map and find, you know, all our way around in the city. But I am so guilty of times when Kathy would say, why don't we just stop and ask somebody? I ain't asking nobody. I'm going to figure this out. You know, this thing in guys, I think maybe it's more so in guys, you know. We got this ego thing, this pride thing. No, I'm going to figure this out. But we're lost. We ain't lost. You ever been that way where you're lost and you don't want to admit you're lost? Right? We as Christians fall into that as well. And here he's saying, listen, he said, this I say unto you, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith. What that is saying, you read another translation, because we can read over that and say, rejoicing to see your good order. What does that mean? Another translation, NIV, says, living as you should, and being strong in your faith for Christ. I'm rejoicing that you are living the way you should be living. Well, that means you're on track. You haven't lost your way. When you are not living like you should be living, you have lost your way. Come on. This means yes. This means I don't know what you're talking about. When you're living the way you should be living, one of the best things that can come to us is a self-awareness. We are so blind in our own minds and not even so much of the time aware of what we're doing. When we get sidetracked, how do you help someone to see that they're lost in the woods? Well, if you don't have the joy that you had before, if you don't have the passion or the drive or the commitment to the Lord, you're off course. Are you hearing me? When you lose your joy, because how many times have we got into that place where we tag it and say, well, I backslid in heart. I know, I've been there. Where I lost my joy, I lost my passion, lost my desire, was on the verge of losing my whole commitment, even to my wife. I was off course. And people don't like to admit that. They don't like to say, I'm not off course. I'm just taking a break. No, you're probably offended. Amen? Yeah, I'll get back on that in a minute. I let that sink in a little bit so you don't get plumb mad at me. But that's a good gauge to see. You look around, and you look around, suddenly you don't recognize anything. You ever been there and lost in the woods? Okay, I don't recognize this tree. I don't recognize this. You know, I don't recognize the fact that I've lost my joy. I don't belong here. I don't recognize this place where I have no passion and desire. This is not the trail I'm supposed to be following. I'm off course. It should be unrecognizable to us that we don't have any commitment. Nothing works without commitment. Nothing works without commitment. I'm not saying you got to be up here 60 hours a week outside of your job where you work 40. I'm committed. Now, you're going to die here probably, you know. But I'm saying, y'all understand what I'm saying with that, okay? I don't want to get bogged down here. But there's such a combination of joy and passion and desire. You know what? You've gotten discouraged. Something's happened. And you know what? Something is getting you off course. And you got to backtrack. Don't panic. You just got to go back to where you got off course and find your way back. Right? When you get discouraged, and I've been there depressed and discouraged, and I knew I wasn't supposed to be there. And for me, I'm not saying you, I'm saying for Stan, I had to repent because I knew better. When I got to that point to realize, God, I don't belong right here. I should not be depressed. I know better. I know this is not the path for me. I know this is not the trail for me to follow. I repent. Would you get me back? would you restore to me that which I've lost? Lord, would you get me back on the pathway? And that may be some of what you're battling with tonight. Amen? So we should be strong in our faith, continue to follow Jesus. Now, look back down in verse 8. Verse 8. Let me read from the Amplified. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism in vain deceit, following human tradition, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe, and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. If anyone could speak into this, it was Paul. He had depth, man. I'm telling you, this guy, he was there, been there, realized what he was talking about, how people separate out. See, when he came to the realization and met Jesus, he realized his fullness was in Christ. All this other was just playing games, man. And he said, don't let anybody take you. There's some... Some of you have an enormous vocabulary. You have an enormous way of speech that's eloquent. And you can debate the covers off these seats down here, probably. But there's a lot of people out there that they can communicate so well, but you can't let that talent and skill and gift get you off the course with Jesus. I don't know if I'm explaining this very good, but I'm working on it. Hear my heart. Because what he tagged into this, he said, don't be led aside by the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe, disregarding the teachings of Christ. He didn't say there wasn't a reality of life and universe. He didn't say ignore the rudimentary elemental teachings of the universe. He said there's more to it. That's not your all in all. Because what people in the world are saying is that we got it all figured out without God, without Jesus. They think they got all the answers in just this world. There are rudimentary elemental teachings of the universe. If I step off of this, I'm going to hit the floor. And at 60 years old, it's not as much fun as it was 20 years ago. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to understand those things. I'm going to take advantage of those things. I would rather fly to Wisconsin than drive to Wisconsin. So I enjoy flying in the law of lift that keeps those planes in the air. But really, that's not all of me. All in all is Jesus. Right? And that's what he's saying. Listen, you got to keep Jesus the number one. That's what's going to keep you on track as a child of God. Are you following? Amen. So it's okay to know how the world functions, but don't base the source of your faith on the world, on the creation instead of the Creator. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need our faith to be based on the reality of God, not the realities of the world. Another translation I was reading in my study time, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the word evidence there, and until I read it in another translation, then went and checked it out in the Greek, I didn't realize it said it that way. It's the conviction of those things that you don't see. And that spoke volumes to me. When I went and read, I said, yeah, that word means it's like a conviction. It's like a conviction. And conviction, to me, I found out that with millennials, you've got to be able to communicate differently. But we're trying to say the same thing. It just sometimes you say it differently, right? Us old codgers, we have our own terminology of things in our own language, I think, you know. But I need to keep learning how to communicate what I'm feeling, what I understand. To me, conviction, it compared to preference. Those were the two realms, the two worlds. Preference is something that if it's convenient, you'll do it. Conviction is what you'll die for because it's reality to you. And my faith needs to be based in the reality of God. That's my proof. That's my reality of things that I don't see with a natural eye, but I know good and well they're true. I know they're there. So we need to understand what happened with Paul when he's saying these things. He's trying to get across to us that we need to understand the big picture of reality. And that's Christ, the teachings of Jesus that'll keep us on course, not just in this life, but on these things that we see and touch and feel and smell and taste. But Jesus, I don't want to get off course. You should be living how you should be living, following Jesus Christ. And we get off course. Amen. Colossians there, he said, in verse 10, he said, "You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And I say that to say this, that I'm running out of time. But when you come to a fork in the road of your life and you're trying to make a major decision, there's two directions in your life, the will of the world or the will of God. The will of the world, the will of God. So if you want to find and follow the fullness of what's on the inside of you, you cannot disregard the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what's on the inside of you. What is it that Jesus teaches us? What is it that he tells us? God has a plan for our life. And don't we all want to know that plan? Yeah, I want to know why I'm here, Lord. I want to know why. I want to know what's going on. So I got to press in to follow him. So question is, whose will are you living for today? Whose will are you going to fulfill in your lifetime? The world? It just wants to do what it wants and what feels good. Or are you going to follow your compass to follow Jesus? Can we say at the end of the day that I have proven God's will, I've experienced, I've fulfilled, and I have lived God's will? Can we say at the end of the day, I'm on course? It hadn't been an easy course. It's been a tough terrain at times, but I'm going to follow Jesus. And it, you know, if you can't say that, let me say this with a bit of boldness. You're still conformed to the world. You're conformed to the world. But if we can say that today, I've lived today the best of my ability to the according to God's will, then you know what? You're being transformed by the will of God. We got a different reason for what we do and how we do it when you're walking like that. Last verse, now Titus 2, and I'll close with this. Titus 2, verse 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might do two things. Number one, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And secondly, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So Jesus doesn't want to just save you for heaven. He wants to transform your life. He wants you to enjoy the walk. He wants it to drive you in zeal and excitement and passion to fulfill the will of God. That's what he wants. And we don't want to veer off course. Let's stay on course and accomplish beneficial deeds. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Hope you're getting something out of this. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And the Lord is good, isn't he? Man, I just want to follow the Lord, don't you? I want to stay connected to Jesus. You know, I got to be careful because I'll veer off. And we had a teacher this week. We were a guy that was sharing with us, and he shared the word serendipity. Am I pronouncing that with a Texas accent? Serendipity. Is that, you guys up north may say it different. I don't know. But it's experiencing more that you come by on accident than what you were pursuing on purpose, basically. The good things of life. And how many times our life, we look at our life and think that it's serendipitously, is that right? That we look at our life and we don't have it all figured out, but it seems like it all comes together and we look back in our life and realize we experienced much more than we could have if we'd have been in control of it. And I've realized, you know, through all the years, all the things that we've gone through, all the jobs, all the stuff that I've done, pursued, all the dreams I might could have gone and followed, and in profession, in the workforce, in the ministry, all I've ever wanted to do was just follow Jesus. And that's why he's been so good to me. I believe that. That's why he's been so good to me. That's why he's blessed me to be an asset at whatever I've done. Because I just wanted to follow Jesus. I just wanted to stay on course. Even though sometimes I wondered if I was on course. Have you ever done that? But just keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. So let's close with this thought. And again, it's like I've said it in the past. So many things that I've done, I felt like I was too ignorant even to ask questions. I don't like being ignorant. You don't like being ignorant, do you? No. Be careful, Pastor. Don't be calling me ignorant. Ignorant means you just don't know. Okay? I didn't call you an ignoramus. I just said you just don't know. But to examine in our life, to say, God, help me to understand. Holy Spirit, Jesus sent you here to fill in for him in a sense of to be my comforter, my strength, my guide. And I need you to be my guide. Now, this will be one of the bravest things that you can ever do, is to sincerely, honestly step before the Lord and say, God, reveal to me areas that need to be changed and removed from my life. Reveal to me if I'm off course. Show me, like David said, Lord, reveal to me if there be any wicked way inside of me that I can remove it far from me. He wasn't just trying to take a shortcut and say, God, zap me and let me get up and the new man. He said, Lord, I want you to show me so that I can change this inside of me. That's courage. That's valor. That's a sincere passion for the Lord, that I want to be pleasing to the Lord. So, if you go away from here tonight with one thing, that would be to say, Lord, I want to be a better man. I want to be a better woman. I want to be a better child, deserving of your love and your passion for me. So if I'm off course, show me. Help me to get back on course. He's never going to show you something that he's not going to show you how to get back on course. He never reveals something to you to condemn you. If the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, it's to help you get back on course. He's not condemning. That's the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to beat you down and feel like a low-down, measly worm, that you're not worth anything. But don't say that the Holy Spirit won't reveal something to you, but he will with that say, okay, here's how we get back on track. Because I love you. You can have confidence in that, that if you, that's the confidence, you go in, you approach the Lord with that sincere honesty, you know what? He's going to embrace you. Because the scripture says, those that draw nigh unto God, he draws nigh unto those that draw nigh unto him. It's like God, when you reach out and say, God, I need you. I need you. You know what he does? He reaches down and just pulls you in, embraces you, and loves you and forgives you, cleanses you, sets you back up on your feet. I'm so grateful. I wouldn't be here today if he hadn't done that with me. Amen? Let me pray with you. Man, if that's you here today, I've got my eyes closed. If that's you here today, just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just asking you to draw me closer into you. I'm asking you to love me and embrace me and reveal your love to me, reveal the strength I need, and set me back on course. And Lord, forgive me where I've messed up. Forgive me where I've sinned, where I've displeased you. And forgive me, Lord, I knew better. And you speak from your heart. God, forgive me. Cleanse me and take me by the hand. Let me be who you've designed me to be, who you have desired me to be. Let me fulfill your will for my life. Get me back on course, Lord God. Get me back on the right pathway for my life so I can experience the fulfillment and fullness of what you have for me, Lord. I want to be pleasing in your sight that you can get glory out of my life. Sincerely, just open your heart up to the Lord tonight. He'll take you right where you are, right where you are, and embrace you for his glory. Lord, I pray that when we look back in a year, we won't be the same person. We won't be the same man, the same woman that we were. God, have your way with our lives. Show us, Lord. Heal us. Heal me, Jesus. Heal my heart. Lord, have your way with us. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Father, I pray for our church. I know we're not the church. We're part of the church. But we are a part of the church. I pray, Father, that we be a church, Lord, that is loving and embracing, just as you love and embrace us. That we embrace people, Father, that are looking for hope. They're looking for light. They're looking for strength and forgiveness and a real Jesus in people. Let us be that people, Lord. Let us love and embrace one another in your love. Let your light shine through us, Father, in this world of darkness, so people can experience your love, Father. Bless our church to be a blessing in our community, in the lives of everyone we come in contact with, not just in these walls, but out there. Bless us to be a blessing, God. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight. Lord, I pray for supernatural guidance and strength in their lives. I pray a blessing over their homes, Father, as we come together through this Thanksgiving season. I pray that homes will be healed and relationships mended, Lord, and in our homes and our families, Lord God, where we have, Lord, just been split apart and rifts been in families that will be healed supernaturally by your Spirit, God. Let us be that light. So bless us, Father, and bless my brothers and sisters. Let their days be prosperous and productive in you, and whatever they lay their hand to prosper. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. We're going to be down here. If anybody needs prayer, come down and let us pray for you. Go and be blessed. Have a wonderful week. See you Sunday.